War Scroll 6, Made for the Storm. Made for the Storm. All right, we're going to look at when the storm of war and conflict comes in. What does the Lord have to say about this? And once having the mind of Christ, having our mind renewed by His Word, we will be able to press through the storm. Let's look at Isaiah 25:10. Lo, Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. Okay, exaltation. Beginning by always exalting God. Though He slay me, yet will I praise Him. I will praise Thy name, for You have done wonderful things. Your counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. All right, God never lies, and He's always there consistently. For You have made of a city a heap, of a defense city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. We are awaiting that day when Babylon will never be rebuilt again. It will be utterly destroyed by the Lord Himself. Therefore shall the strong people glorify You. Strong in what? The arm of flesh? No. Strong in their Lord and knowing who He is. The city of the terrible nations shall flee You, for You have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. You shall bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. This is the work of the Lord. This is what He does to those who keep covenant with Him, no matter what their circumstances are. In the book of Job, the first book of written in Paleo-Hebrew of the scriptures, we see the testing of Job, and in all things, he magnified the Lord, because God is God, and He's faithful and true. Now, in order to prepare for a storm, which everyone should be prepared, you have to discern what the time is, or what's happening. In Luke 12:56, Jesus said, then He also said to the multitudes, whenever you see cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? How is it that you do not discern this time? We need to look at the signs and see what is coming. Look at the events and see where they're going. A prudent man foresees evil and he prepares himself and then batten down the hatches. Whenever a storm comes up in the high mountains, that's going to be snow and a blizzard, you must prepare or you will be taken out. You will die. Because you didn't have shelter, you didn't have enough wood, you didn't have provisions and supplies, the basic necessities to keep yourself alive. And so it is spiritually. If you don't have enough oil in your lamp, if you don't have enough bread from heaven, if you haven't hidden under the wing of the Almighty, under the downy warmth there, if you haven't hidden yourself in the Lord, you will not survive spiritually. Let's look at Psalm 55. To the chief musician on Neginoth and Maschil, a psalm of David. Give ear to my prayer, O Lord. O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. This is the hidden place of the Lord, the place where you receive oil to sustain yourself and light your way. Attend unto me and hear me now. I mourn and I complain and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained with me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tents. So here, God, here in this psalm, David is clearly saying the windy storm and the tempest are my enemies, and the wicked, the oppression of the wicked and their iniquity, and they're after me. They want to kill me. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. Divide their tongues. What does this mean, divide their tongues? They've got a split tongue. You know, a serpent has a split tongue. They talk out of both sides of their necks. And they don't know what they're saying. And they can't remember their own lies. And they are snared. Oh, what webs we weave when first we practice to deceive. And their webs will fall upon them. Their own lies and their deceit will snare them. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst. Reminds me of Oakland, California. Woo, there's violence there. Everybody's trying to get a hustle. They're pimping. They're selling drugs. They're killing each other. They got attitudes. They're not real. They've lost their heart. They become hardened, and they exploit others and oppress them so that their own flesh can feed on corruption. Day and night they go about upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. So here we have to look at the problem, look at the issue, face it, identify the problem, the first step in conflict resolution. Now the storm arrives. Let's see what the Lord says. This holy scripture says, Isaiah 2, behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with a hand. All right, the Lord does this. Isaiah 29:6, you shall be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and a great noise with storm and tempest and the flame of a devouring fire. And the multitude of all the nations that fight against Ariel, even all that fight against her and her munition and that distress her, shall be as a dream of a night vision. It shall even be as when a hungry man dreams, and behold, he eats, but he awakes, and his soul is empty. Or as when a thirsty man dreams, and behold, he drinks, but he awakes, and behold, he is faint, and his soul has appetite. So shall the multitude of all the nations be that fight against Mount Zion. Who's Mount Zion? It is the hill of the Lord. It is all those who contend with the Lord. And his ways, and his counsel, and his instruction. This is what they're going to be visited with. Thunder and earthquake, and noise, and storm, and tempest, and flames of devouring fire. And all the nations that fight against Ariel. Who is Ariel? Ariel is a place in northern Israel, but it also speaks of Judah, of Jerusalem. It's sort of a nom de plume, scripturally, of Jerusalem. Another name. Is this happening now? Yes, it is. These nations are fighting against God. I'm not saying, you know, hey, man and his sin, God, they open the doors. They open the doors through iniquity and violence in the city. And God uses his enemies to bring the rods of discipline and correction to his people. Isaiah 30:27, behold, the name of the Lord comes from afar, burning with his anger, and his burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue like a devouring fire. His breath is like an overflowing stream, which reaches up to the neck to sift the nations with the sieve of futility. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. What does this mean? God is coming in war. He's the God of war. He's coming with his discipline. All of creation is under his jurisdiction, and he uses it to implement his purposes. And his purposes are towards his people and his will being executed. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Lord. Hear my prayer. And he puts a bridle in the jaws of the people, and they cannot have correct counsel. They have erroneous counsel. And this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our sight. It's marvelous in our sight. Now, as we're entering in the last days and have been, and are into the culmination, as we acknowledge the signs that are around us, the timepiece, Israel, and you can go watch the clock. It's a series I have done on some aspects of Israel as the timepiece. I want to read Nahum 1, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. God is jealous and the Lord revenges, and the Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. The Lord, he is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry and dries up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel and the flower of Lebanon languishes. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwells therein. His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. Now, this is the caveat scripture to go into Isaiah 34, which is a prophecy of the destruction of God's enemies in the final days before the return of the Lord. But it very clearly says here in Nahum, this is God, this is his character. And the Lord, I feel, spoke to me a few days back and said, he is furious. And it says right here, he is furious. The Lord revenges. The Lord is going to take revenge on his enemies, make no mistake. And the fullness of iniquity is coming to a head. It's coming mature. So let the wicked continue to do wickedly, and let the righteous continue to do righteously. For there is a day of accounting and a day of judgment, and the day of the Lord is coming swiftly. Let's look at the day of the Lord in Isaiah 34. Come near, you nations, to hear, and heed, you people. Let the earth hear and all that is in it, the world and all things that come forth from it. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter. Also, their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses. And the mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine, and as a fruit falling from a fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Indeed, it shall come down from Edom. Ah, you can go and look at who Edom is, the descendants of Esau and the Ishmaelites. This is a spirit behind Islam. And on the people of my curse for judgment. Now, not those who receive Yeshua as the Messiah and live as Christians, of course not. Those who live with the spirit of the curse. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made overflowing with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord has a sacrifice in Bozrah. Where is that? That's the land of Edom. That's Jordan. and a great slaughter in the land of Edom. The wild oxen shall come down with them, and the young bulls with the mighty bulls. Their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust saturated with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, the year of recompense for the cause of Zion. Its streams shall be turned into pitch, and its dust into brimstone, and its land shall become burning pitch. Now this has not happened yet. It shall not be quenched night or day. Its smoke shall ascend forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste, and no one shall pass through it forever and ever. But the pelican and the porcupine shall possess it, and the owl and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out over it the line of confusion and the stone of emptiness. This is Edom, the land of the Edomites, the southern end of Jordan. Okay, Bozra, that this prophecy is speaking of. They shall call its nobles to the kingdom, but none shall be there, and all its princes shall be nothing. And thorns shall come up in his palaces, nettles and brambles in his fortresses. It shall be a habitation of jackals, a courtyard for ostriches. The wild beasts of the desert shall also meet with the jackals, and the wild goat shall bleat to its companions. Also, the night creature shall rest there. And in the Hebrew, this is Lilith. It's a night demon. Okay, and find for herself a place of rest. There the arrow snake shall make her nest and lay eggs and hatch and gather them under her shadow. And there also shall the hawks be gathered, every one with her mate. Search from the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail. Not one shall lack her mate. In other words, they will reproduce after their own kind. For my mouth has commanded it, and his spirit, that is the spirit of holy God, has gathered them. He has cast the lot for them, and his hand has divided it among them with a measuring line. They shall possess it forever from generation to generation. They shall dwell in it. These are the wild beasts of the desert, where the burning pitches and the smoke goes up. This is the land of Edom. This is a prophecy. And for those who are descended from it, those of Esau. And what will the people of God, what is their posture in this time? Isaiah 26:20. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and no more cover the slain. And when the storm is over, Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and the everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth will tremble. And the nations will not be able to endure his indignation. Then you shall say to them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. And then the storm will be over. Now let's look at the God in whom all things were created. And by him all things were created, and nothing was created without him, when he was on the earth as the Son of Man in the flesh. And he dealt with the storm. And we're going to look at this as a little picture of the authority over the elements that the Word made flesh had, Jesus. Now, it came to pass in Luke 8:22 on a certain day that he, Jesus, went into a ship with his disciples, and he said to them, let's go over into the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. And he said to them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commands even the winds and the waters, and they obey him. And in another picture window of the Lord Jesus in Matthew 14:22, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to him, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was coming down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of truth, you are the Son of God, because he has power and authority over the elements of all nature, because he is their creator. And therefore he gives us power as we're in submission to him, as we ask him, and then he says, Come. And we come. We follow him. Come. Follow Jesus. Come. Now is the hour. And finally, I want to sum this up about the storm, why the Lord, this is the definitive answer of why the Lord allows the storm. In Isaiah 54:6, For the Lord has called you as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a wife of youth, when you were refused, says God. For a small moment have I forsaken you, but with great mercies will I gather you. In a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah to me. All right, what did Jesus say? The last days it will be like in the days of Noah. And God is saying, you've been spurned and cast off and refused, but I'll gather you to me. I've allowed this to happen. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be wrath with you or rebuke you, this woman, this person, this individual. For the mountain, here's the promise, for the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord that has mercy on you. O you afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted. That is, you in the storm, and you're not comforted. Okay, he's acknowledging that this is, God knows us before we know ourselves and what's in our heart and how we're going to respond. Behold, I will lay your stones with fair colors and your foundations with sapphires. And I will make your windows of agates and your gates of carbuncle and all your borders of pleasant stones. And all your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. Okay, this is it. This process is to establish that person in righteousness and purge them of their iniquities. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. Okay? Do not be afraid, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Is this a given for everyone? who has confessed the Lord Jesus as Savior? No, it's for those that God has done a work in, okay? And there is a process here. He is allowing the storms. He's allowing the tempest to forge us. Stones are made through high pressure and a lot of earth and heat. And they're made in the storm. It's the furnace, okay? Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whoever shall gather together against you shall fall for your sake. Behold, here it is, I have created this smith that blows coals into the fire. What is this? This is a blacksmith that forges iron and metals and purges them. Or a goldsmith or a silversmith. It's the smith. You're taken through the furnace of purging and perfecting. And that brings forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. God, right here it says, God created the waster to destroy. He created the destroyer. No weapon, and once you've been forged into the purposes of God, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Not before you were forged into his purposes and knew him and his ways and his commandments and his covenants. And hey, he was written and his testimony is in your mouth and you had no fear anymore. There's not going to be any fear or terror. It's not going to come near you. What does it matter if you perish? You know, you don't love your life unto death. And your body is a corrupt instrument that's going to be given in a way, you know, die anyway. And if you are faithful, you will be given a better, glorified body. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment you shall condemn. Why? Because God has forged the word of the Lord in you, the sword of the Lord, his counsel, his truth, and you will be faithful to that. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, says the Lord, and this is their testimony, and you need to testify of what God has done. God bless you. In the midst of the storm and the furnace.